initial meeting of the Joint Conference Committee on Health and Human Services. And I'd like to welcome everybody who's here and certainly welcome the members of the conference committee. Thank you for your willingness to participate in this discussion and work that we're about to embark on. And appreciate the work of the staff that I'm sure we will rely on heavily as we proceed. We do have a significant challenge ahead of us. I think the good news is that our target numbers are close, if not identical. Close, I think, is the better word. But I understand we do have some variation within those numbers that we need to look at. Slight differences, as Chairman Abler says. But just from the Senate side, we certainly welcome you to our world for now and appreciate the work you've done and look forward to working with you. I think this will be productive, and I expect that we'll find ways to resolve our differences in a productive way and look forward to doing that. So at this point, I'd like to ask, as I understand the Chairman Abler and I have had some discussion about this. What we'd like to do is begin to review the financial comparisons and walk through the numbers a little bit so that each of us can understand where the other side is on the numbers, and then also look at the language side by sides as well. And we'll do that for at least for today. I doubt that we'll be finished by the time we're done today, so we'll probably have to look at another meeting or two to complete that work. But that's the business that we're anticipating initially, and I'd like to just ask if Chairman Abler has any comments he'd like to make at this point. Chairman Abler?
Well, thank you, and I'm glad for the nice attendance we have today. Thanks to all the members who came and staff. And there have been a few rumors about this. In the hallway, I hear just here secondhand. One is we're having only three conferees. Well, we have five. So another one is that we're going to get done today. That's not true. Well, we think by Thursday we can get the bill wrapped up, but it might take a little longer than that. And the third is, even though Elvis is dead, Republicans didn't have anything to do with that in this bill. So never mind. We hope to have in the beginning at least, we hope to respect the public and the interested parties in our scheduling. I think you'll see that in the first few meetings in particular. I think we're meeting tomorrow and the Wednesday. Wednesday and Thursday at similar times. And then we're talking about a Monday morning meeting because we do have a lot of work to get done. So I'm pleased to be part of the process. And it's back to you, Mr. Chairman.
And we have also sent letters, Chairman Abler and I have jointly sent letters inviting the commissioners of the departments and or their representatives to join us at any time. And we may have opportunity to need their assistance to respond to concerns or questions or provide information, but they have a standing invitation to join us anytime they wish. And I met with Commissioner Jessen this morning, and we extended that invitation personally as well. So we look forward to their help as we go forward. And we certainly would like to, if possible, find out where the positions of the governor might be, and as we move forward, maybe we can reach an agreement on this without having to go through the traditional process of passing a number of bills and vetoing them and bringing them back. We'd like to try to see if we can get as much work done within the construction of the conference committee. At this point, if there are no questions from the members, I'd like to turn it over to our fiscal analyst, Mr. Albrecht, to begin the presentation of the numbers, and I believe they've worked out a tag team arrangement with the House on how they're going to handle that, so I'll let them lead us on that.
But Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Just another housekeeping thing. A lot of us haven't worked together with each other, so maybe if our staffs, the Senate could go first, introduce themselves, and then our staffs, at least then they'll have had a chance to hear the names, and the staff and members.
We will accept the House's position on that issue.
Agreement already. See, we're moving along.
Just so chalk one up for the House. And, why don't, that's a good idea. I apologize. I should have acknowledged that. But why don't we allow the staff and members on each side to just introduce themselves. And I'm David Hand, Senate representing Eden Prairie and Minnetonka.
Brad Beers, Committee Administrator.
Dennis Albrecht, Senate Fiscal Analyst.
Katie Cavanaugh, Senate Counsel.
Joan White, Senate Counsel.
Dave LeBaco, Senate Analyst.
I'm Sean Nino, State Senate District 17. That's roughly Chisago County, Isanti County, north of the Twin Cities.
Michelle Benson, Senate District 49, Ham Lake, Andover, Coon Rapids.
Gretchen Hoffman, Senate District 10, Otter Tail County, Wadena County, and a little corner of Becker County up northwest.
And, Mr. Chair, I think Senator Newman is also a conferee.
Senator Newman, yes, is a conferee. And
he needs no introduction. So.
He needs no introduction. He's a familiar.
He's a former House member,
yeah,
I understand.
He was a, yeah, we miss him there. He served well. Anyway, Jim Abler, I represent Anoka in the city of Ramsey.
Christine Giel, Committee Administrator for the House.
John Walls, House Fiscal Staff.
Emily Adrians, House Fiscal Staff.
I'm Mary Kiffmeyer, State Representative for 16B, which is the heart of Sherburne County.
Steve Gottwald, House District 15A, better known as Granite Country, USA.
Kathy Lomer, Representative from 56A, which is Woodbury and Stillwater and Eastern Metro in between.
State Rep. Tom Huntley from Duluth.
Randy Chen, House Research.
Emily Cleveland with House Research.
All right. Thank you. And appreciate the suggestion. So now we'll turn it over to Mr. Albrecht, and you can begin to lead us through the numbers.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I think the first thing to do is maybe orient you to this sheet. You can see that across the top are the positions of the governor, the House, and the Senate, each in six columns for the various fiscal years indicated. I'm going to mostly focus on just the House and Senate positions. On line three, if you follow that across, those are basically the targets for the general fund for each body. In the general fund, the House has reductions of about $1.64 billion, and the Senate has reductions of $1.6 billion in the general fund. The next thing that might interest members is on line 19. This is the healthcare access fund. The House position leaves a deficit in the healthcare access fund of about $67 million, and the Senate leaves a balance of about $10.5 million. On line 27 is a section that's new to the spreadsheet. This groups all of the changes for the MA program together. So you can see that in the House position, there is almost $1.9 billion of reductions in the MA program. And in the Senate position, there is nearly a little over $1.6 billion of reductions in the MA program. Moving on to page two, the first item is on line 89, and that's an operating budget reduction for the Department of Human Services. All of these changes in the first section are relating to the Department of Human Services. The House has a reduction of $6 million, and the Senate has a reduction of about $18 million. On line 95 is the next item. This is a governor's recommendation that the Senate did not include, and that the House partially includes for a total of $3.3 million. On line 106 is a provision relating to streamlining county human services duties. It's common to both the House and the Senate. It's spending of about $180,000 for the biennium. On line 113 is a Senate position. It's Senate File 470 relating to a uniform asset limits analysis as one-time spending of $68,000. On line 118 is a Senate position. It is Senator Rosen amendment relating to a nursing facility pilot project. It's one-time spending of $13,000. On line 123 is a Senate position. It's a Senator Benson proposal to issue an RFP for software to address Medicaid fraud. It's spending of $183,000 in the 12-13 biennium with $35,000 per year ongoing. On line 128 is a Senate position relating to adult foster care licensing. It's one-time spending of $34,000. Line 134 is a governor's position that the Senate accepted relating to licensing fees for background studies. It's $1.3 million of savings to the general fund. Going along with that item is on line 143, another governor's item to restructure licensing fees in the Department of Human Services that has the result of saving about $1.2 million in the general fund. On line 158 is a House position, although I believe this language might be in the Senate bill as well, for a report on the effect of human services programs on families. It's one-time spending of $27,000. On line 184 is a governor's recommendation to reduce county CCSA grants. The Senate position is the governor's initial recommendation for a reduction of $22 million. On line 168 is a House provision relating to long-term homeless services. It's one-time spending of $700,000. On line 173 is the governor's recommendation to reduce the MFIP consolidated fund that the House includes in its bill. On line 178 is a Senate position to establish the adult assistance program. It does that by eliminating other programs, including GA, emergency MSA, and the MSA special needs portion. The result of all of that activity is a reduction of about $25.1 million in the general fund. On line 186 is a House provision to change the GA eligibility criteria that results in about $12.7 million of savings in the general fund. On line 194 is a House provision relating to EBT cards that saves about $831,000. On line 201 is a House provision relating to MFIP work requirements for post-secondary education. Savings from that provision is about $1 million. On line 205 is a House position relating to an income disregard in the GA program. That's spending of $27,000. On line 210 is a Senate position that would include $150 of SSI in the MFIP budget. That would be SSI for anyone in the household. The savings from that are about $24 million in the general fund. On line 215 is a House provision relating to a vehicle exclusion up to $10,000 in the MFIP program that saves about $1.2 million in the general fund. On line 221 is a House provision relating to circles of support grants, that's spending of $1 million. On line 229 is a House position to combine and restructure emergency GA and emergency MSA for a total savings of about $4.5 million. On line 235 is both a Senate and a House position to end the child support incentive grants that saves about $6.7 million. On line 239 is a Senate position to reduce deaf and hard of hearing grants for $500,000 in savings. On line 243 is a Senate position to end the state community action grants for a savings of $7.8 million. On line 247 is a governor's recommendation to end the FAIM grants that the Senate includes. It's one-time savings of $492,000. On line 251 is a Senate position to reduce the adult mental health grants. It's savings of about $13.5 million. On line 255 is a Senate position to reduce child care assistance rates. It's a 5% reduction. The savings is about $13.7 million. On line 261 are changes to the child care assistance programs. It's a governor's recommendation that the Senate includes. It's savings of about $6.8 million. On line 267 are House child care assistance program changes that save $5.4 million. On line 273 is a House provision relating to at-home infant daycare. It's spending of $178,000. On line 279 is a House provision relating to non-licensed child care rates. It's savings of about $7.2 million. On line 285 is the governor's recommendation to anticipate what has been historical underspending in the basic sliding fee program of $5 million. That's one-time savings, and it's also in the House position and the Senate position.
Mr. Albrecht, I think we can reach agreement on that particular line item, so start banking that money.
Another way. We're moving along.
Mr. Chair and members, moving on line 292 is a Senate position to either reduce or eliminate a variety of grants in the Department of Human Services. There are savings in both the general fund and the health care access fund. You can read down the list there, and the description for each grant indicates whether it's eliminated or reduced in the Senate position. The overall savings for all funds is $59.5 million. On line 320 is a governor's recommendation that's in the Senate bill to increase the child support cost recovery fee. On line 328 is a governor's recommendation to liquidate a carry forward in the interim assistance recovery account. That's in the Senate and in the House for savings of $2.8 million. On line 336 is a governor's recommendation that's also in the House and the Senate positions relating to matching current or using current expenditures as a match for enhancing what's called FSET revenue. On line 340 is a Senate position to eliminate funding for the MFAP program. It's savings of about $800,000. On line 344 is a governor's recommendation, although the House position isn't necessarily related to the governor's. They're on the same line, though. Same activity, different amounts. And the House position, that is savings in the general fund of $46 million. On line 353 is the governor's recommendation to eliminate what had been a delayed 1% acuity factor in the developmentally disabled waiver. The difference in the dollars between the House and the Senate is that the House eliminates this for 2 years, and the Senate and the governor eliminate it for 1 year. On line 357 is an aging grant reduction. It was a governor's recommendation to do it, one time in the 12-13 biennium, and that's the Senate position. The House position is to make that ongoing. On line 361 and on 370 are provisions relating to the elderly waiver and alternative care programs. The Senate and the governor have the same provisions, saving about $5.8 million. The House has different provisions that save about $26.1 million. On line 387 is, I believe, what was initially a governor's recommendation that was withdrawn. The House and the Senate have the same provision, saving about $12.7 million. On line 396 is a House provision relating to administrative costs for an 8-bed provision. It's spending of $64,000. On line 402 is a House provision establishing a 3-tier DD developmentally disabled service structure. That's one-time spending of $97,000. On line 408 is a House provision relating to nursing facility pay for performance. It's one-time spending of $3,000. On line 414 is a House position relating to ICF's transitions grants, spending of $150,000 with an ongoing amount of $32,000 each year.
Pretty funny.
On line 421 is a House position relating to the White Earth Human Services Project. That's ongoing spending of $64,000. On line 427 is a House position relating to state quality improvement and licensing system. Ongoing spending of $165,000 a year. On line 433 is a House position relating to case management services. It's ongoing spending in this and the 12-13 biennium, it would be $260,000. On line 453 is the Senate's position on the disabilities waiver growth. Senate would allow no new allocations. This is related to line 445, the governor's position, which would leave in place the existing caps on those waivers. And on line 461 is the House's position relating to this issue. Their savings is $93 million. And I believe that position differs from the Senate position in that the Senate would allow reuse of existing allocations and the House position would not. On line 471 is a House position to extend TEFR fee increases. That's a TAILS savings of $1.3 million. And on line 475 is a Senate position to suspend growth in the elderly waiver, which would be no new allocations, and the savings from that is $5.1 million. At this point, Mr. Chair, I'd like to ask Mr. Walls to take over.
Thank you, Mr. Albrecht. Mr. Walls.
Mr. Chair and members, continuing on the top of page 8, both the House and Senate bill carry a provision suggested by the governor to separate elderly waiver and nursing home rates. This saves about $1.2 million for the biennium. On line 492, refinancing of HIV and AIDS to the state rebate account is a provision in the Senate bill saving $2.4 million in this biennium. Moving down to line 510, a House floor amendment changed surcharges on the way surcharges would be paid by nursing facilities on beds that are unoccupied for a certain percentage of time. That is a revenue loss in 2014 and 15. That's revenue loss due to the loss in surcharges paid. On line 515, the House suspends the property rate adjustments for 2 years for nursing facilities, saving $1 million for the biennium. On line 520, the governor's provision to modify non-rate payments. His position saved $15 million. The House position includes the governor's suggested language, with the exception of the single bed rate, is not included as a suspension in the House language. The Senate language seems to go deeper, and I'm going to defer to Mr. Albrecht to explain the difference.
Mr. Albrecht?
Mr. Chair, I'm going to ask Mr. Lobeco to do that.
All right. I'm sorry. Mr. Lobeco, could you maybe give us a little bit of a insight into the differences of those numbers?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. If you can give me just 1 second. There are 5 non-rate payments. And where the governor recommends eliminating them, the Senate position is also to eliminate them. In 2 instances, I need to find exactly which 2 those are. And in addition to that, there is a leave payment reduction of payment for leaves, beds, nursing facilities. The governor proposes to reduce those from 60% down to 30%, as well as increase the eligibility from 93% vacancy to a 96% vacancy. The Senate position is to eliminate those payments entirely. And there is one other that is completely escaped my mind at the moment. And maybe I can get back to the committee in a few moments, if that's possible.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I guess at this point we'll have to agree that the governor, the House, and the Senate have done something to modify those payments a little bit differently, and I guess we'll have to have an ongoing conversation about what all is entailed. But thank you, Mr. Lobeco and Mr. Waltz.
Mr. Chair, continuing on line 525, there's a small administrative cost for PCA service changes. On the House side, is totals $45,000 for the biennium. On line 530, the House has a provision to decrease, I believe, by 20% the payments made to relatives for providing PCA service to related individuals. On line 545, the House gives an increase to the Pine Ridge ICFMR. This comes from a slight rate reduction to all other ICFMR facilities. On line 550, the House includes the governor's proposal to provide payments for dental therapists. Going to the top of page 9, the House has some administrative costs related to MA look-back adjustments, totals $157,000 for the biennium. The House eliminates performance incentive payments. I believe these are to HMOs. That's on line 560, saves $332,000 for the biennium. Moving down to line 571, the governor included an increase for MA elderly employed persons with disabilities premiums and cost shares. That is picked up by the House and Senate. The Senate carries a slightly lower savings in the tails. There's probably some small adjustment in the language. On line 579, The House and Senate both include the governor's initiative for federal compliance with integrity audits. On line 591, the governor had several positions for managed care reforms. The Senate includes a portion of those, saving $57 million for the biennium. The House also includes some of these provisions, but they're listed on a separate line of the spreadsheet. On line 599, evidence-based childbirth is included in both the Senate positions. There's a small difference in the savings. The House saves $2.2 million for the biennium. The Senate saves $1.8 million. On line 607, modify third-party liability process. A governor's initiative is included in both bills. On line 612, rehab service and prior authorization changes. The governor's initiative is included in the Senate bill for a savings of $1,070,000 for the biennium. Mr. Chair, on the top of page 10, the House eliminates three health care grants, the U Special Kids, as well as two outreach grants to the department for health care outreach. This saves $670,000 for the biennium. On line 626, the House includes some additional funding for new health care grants. These are one-time funding amounts, $100,000 for community mental health centers and $200,000 for care coordination payments. On line 632, the modification of communication device pricing. A governor's initiative is included in both bills, saving $300,000 for the biennium. On line 636, a lower payment for Medicare crossover claims. A governor's initiative is included in both bills, saving $43 million for the biennium. On line 641, requiring the disabled to enroll in managed care and allowing an opt-out is included in the Senate bill, saving $2.5 million for the biennium. On line 646, the Senate includes an MAEPD asset limitation modification, costing $95,000 for the biennium. Mr. Chair, continuing on line 651, changing the pharmacy reimbursement methodology. The House and Senate have slightly different numbers than the governor's original proposal. The House saves $1,062,000. The Senate saves $1,019,000. I believe it's just small language differences that create the difference in savings. On line 660, the House includes a increase of 4% for certain deep rural pharmacies, and this would cost $237,000 for the biennium. And on line 666, medication therapy management expansion saves $107,000 in Medicaid for the biennium. On line 671, critical access dental eligibility. This was a governor's initiative. There are different numbers on both the Senate and House side, and many of these differences arise in how the department prices the savings based on other factors or other changes that we make in the bill. On line 679, the Senate includes eliminating optional services in MA and Minnesota Care, saving $12 million for the biennium, which takes us to the top of page 11. In 688, the House includes the governor's provision for suspending managed care incentive payments, savings of $1.566 million for the biennium. And the Senate would eliminate those managed care payments, and there's a slightly different savings carried for that reduction. Oh, Mr. Chair, it looks like the Senate is only doing that for MA and not including the Minnesota Care portion. On line 708, reduction in transportation rates, a governor's initiative. Slightly different numbers carried in both bills. I believe the House carries a greater reduction because of a larger remaining population in Minnesota Care than the Senate bill. On line 717, maintaining child and teen checkup rates is the same in both bills, and there is a slight difference in the amount of savings. I think that's either due to small language differences or different pricing based on other changes in the bill. On line 722, nursing facility operating rate change, the Senate includes $236,000. On line 727, the delay in inpatient hospital rebasing, the House and Senate both do not carry a savings for MA adults that the governor is showing because MA adults is eliminated, and I believe there's a timing difference that makes up the rest of the savings difference for between the House and Senate. On line 735, FQHCs and as healthcare homes is a provision in the House bill, a cost of $3.8 million for the biennium. This is to make coordinated care payments to HQFCs. I'm going to defer to Mr. Albrecht on line 740 to talk about the Healthy Minnesota Defined Contribution Program.
Mr. Albrecht.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, this is a good opportunity to a lot of the items that Mr. Walls indicated, there are discrepancies either between the governor's position in the Senate or the Senate's position in the House position when we appear to be doing the same thing. Oftentimes, I think we are doing the same thing. It's just that we have other provisions in our bills that affect the savings from those things in different ways. And in the Senate's bill, a lot of those changes are the result of this provision, because this provision takes a substantial portion of the MA families with children population out of that program. So any other provision any elsewhere in the bill that has savings for the families and children portion of MA, those savings were reduced by about 20%. So, like I said, if there's a provision where the House and the Senate are doing the same thing, our savings would likely be 20% less than in the House. Similarly, this provision also takes out the vast majority of the Minnesota care population from that program. So we don't, any provision that has savings in the Minnesota care program in the House side would not have them in the Senate side, although my understanding from talking with the department is that there may be a small residual additional savings in the Senate's position that's not reflected here.
Thank you, Mr. Albrecht. And just, again, for purposes of explanation for the House members, this is a an idea that I think is found in the House bill in Senate, or House File 8, which is Representative Gottwald's Healthy Minnesota plan. The same principles were applied more broadly in our bill, which is the essential difference, I guess, between the but I think if you're familiar with what Representative Gottwald has proposed in his legislation, the structure is very similar. We're just applying it to a different population, a broader population. Thank you. Mr. Walls.
Mr. Chair, then continuing on at the top of page 12, as you mentioned, House File 8 is a defined contribution plan aimed at MinCare enrollees, and on line 749, the House has the associated savings for that population being moved into the defined contribution plan. On line 755, the Senate has restoring GAMC CCDSs, a cost of $387 million for the biennium. This is in relation to the repeal of early MA for adults without children. And the House also has a CCDS provision, which we will get to very shortly. Mr. Chair, on line 761, changes to emergency or coverage under emergency MA, the House saves $14.6 million for the biennium, as does the Senate. Again, a slight difference generally due to other factors. On line 767, a spousal contribution requirement for long-term care in the Senate bill is a savings of $6,000 for the biennium. On line 774, PCA service modifications, Governor's proposal saves $95,000 for the biennium is included in the Senate bill, but not in the House. On line 780, the repeal of PCA service modifications included in the House bill saves $8 million for the biennium. Moving down to line 787, it reflects the Senate's proposal for the save and associated savings with the repeal of MA eligibility for adults without children, the effective date of which is October 1st, 2011, and the combined general fund savings is $921 million for the biennium. On the line 798, reflects the House's position for eliminating eligibility for adults without children. Reflected there is a $458 million net savings. This includes both the repeal for adults without kids, any associated DISH revenue, and also includes the House reinstatement of GAMC and the CCDSs. Mr. Chair, moving on to line 806, House has the provision for request of a global Medicaid waiver and with hopes of repeal of getting savings of $300 million through changes in MA. If this is not granted in time or does not achieve the $300 million in savings, the law has a provision where the department shall reduce rates to achieve the $300 million. On line 811 and continuing on to the next page, the House has a provision to cap the forecasted program of fee-for-service for the elderly and disabled. The department is directed to better manage through care coordination and looking at high-cost providers to save $179 million for the biennium. This is also backed up by a rate cut provision. Mr. Chair, moving to line 816, medical assistance and MinCare cost sharing, and this has a host of copay provisions, and this would save $4 million for the biennium, $3.5 million in general fund, and $500,000 in healthcare access fund. There's on line 824. There's some adjustments of transfers between the healthcare access and the general fund. You'll see those as well on line 832. These are transfers that are made by the two bills specific to dollars available in the healthcare access fund and different provisions, mostly dealing with the repeal of early MA or other factors. Mr. Chair, on line 840, a reduction to MRC funding. The governor proposed to save $12.8 million for the biennium. The House has a reduction of $9 million. The Senate has no such reduction. On line 845, the Senate eliminates the MRC funding, saving a total of $49.5 million for the biennium. On line 850, the Senate eliminates state-funded MA for legal non-citizens. These are refugees and asylees, and this would be a reduction or a savings of $20,700,000 for the biennium. Line 859, the House has an item titled Managed Care High-Cost Provider and Reforms. This is an across-the-board reduction to the HMOs of 12%, along with some direction on how to reduce payments to high-cost providers. Also within this number are two of the governor's provisions for managed care reforms, and I believe those are for competitive bidding. And Mr. Chair, at this time, there's two others, and they escape me unless Mr. Chun remembers what those two other provisions are.
Mr. Chun.
Okay,
we'll,
Mr. Chair, we'll get back
to you. We'll catch that when we get into the language, I'm sure.
Mr. Chair, that takes us to the top of page 14. On line 882, the House suspends MinCare eligibility for adults without children above 200% of poverty. These would for all adults. This would be currently MennCare covers adults from 200 to 250%, and this would eliminate their eligibility. On line 891, the repeal of the MA Bridge Program was proposed by the governor. The House includes this provision. The Senate does not. On line 911, changing eligibility reviews to 6 months would have a cost for additional positions at the department, $474,000 for this biennium, but an ongoing savings of $9 million in 14 and 15. On line 918, eliminating funding for the Healthcare Access Commission saves $50,000 a year. This is included in the House bill, but not the Senate. On line 923, verification of ESI, child premiums, and eliminating auto eligibility and auto renewals costs $500,000 in this biennium with this ongoing savings of $81 million in the subsequent biennium. This is included in the House bill, but not the Senate. Mr. Chair, going to line 933, the repeal of the unapproved rolling and grace month was a suggestion by the governor. It is included in the House bill, but not the Senate. On line 938 is administrative costs for alignment and alternative strategies. On line 944 is some healthcare related spending for a previously mentioned White Earth proposal. On line 950 is to repeal unapproved Minnesota Care changes. This saves $2.3 million in the 12 and 13 biennium, is included in the House bill, but not the Senate. On line 957, tightening CD placement criteria was a governor's position, which is included in both the House and Senate bill, as well as increasing county share of CD treatment costs. On line 963, saves $6 million for the biennium in the House bill. I believe the Senate is increasing the county share further and saves nearly $14 million for the biennium. On line 968, reducing SOS mental health services. This would be eliminating the Wilmer facility, saves $5.4 million for the biennium, is included in both the House and Senate bills. On line 974, coverage for tribal placements is included in the governor's position and also in the House. It's cost neutral. It is not included in the Senate. On line 980, the cancellation of the sex offender program carry forward of $3 million is included in the House bill, but not the Senate. The House increases the county share for new admissions to the sex offender program from 10% to 25%. This would save $2 million in the current or in the upcoming biennium. Is not included in the Senate bill. And the governor suggests a permanent increase for the sex offender budget. The House funds this increase for the first year of the biennium. The Senate includes no funding for sex offender program increases. And, Mr. Chair, that brings us to the Department of Health, and I'm going to turn it over to Emily Adrians.
Thank you, Mr. Waltz. Ms. Adrians.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're almost done. Everyone's doing good. I'll start on line 1006. This was a provision that the House and the Senate agreed on, the one-time reduction of $2.8 million, which was also in the governor's recommendations, and this is for continuing health care reform and to reduce loan match funds. The Senate also picks up on line 1009 a one-time increase of $2.5 million in 2013 so that it nets out to a different number than the House. On line 1018, there's a House provision only. It's for municipal labs. This is an increase in fee revenue and then spending in the health protection area. It nets out to zero. On line 1025, this is a House only provision. It's a study of for-profit HMOs, and it's a one-time cost of $78,000. On line 1030, this is another House provision. This is for an advisory committee to look at patient health. This is also a one-time cost of $50,000. On line 1035, this is a House provision to do a survey of Alzheimer's data. This is for the biennium. The cost is $121,000. On line 1040, this is a provision picked up by the House and the Senate from the governor's proposal. This is a Merck fund balance transfer. The net result to the general fund, I'm sorry, the net result is zero. This is transferring money out of the Merck fund. It takes $8.4 million from the Merck fund and then $1.4 million from Merck Dental Innovations. Starting on line 1048, this is a number of grant eliminations and redirections. I'm going to go through some of these because there are so many. The net effect of all these for the House is an increase in spending for the biennium of $219,000. The Senate does more of the reductions, and so the reductions for the Senate are close to $50 million. So here are some of the differences, and these start on line 1052. The Senate does reductions for local public health grants for tribes, family planning grants, home visiting, FHV, tribal government, eliminating health disparities, and community tobacco grants, and then the health professional loan forgiveness program. Both the House and the Senate pick up reductions toward Indian health grants and migrant grants. The House only has a spending provision for health professions opportunity scholarships. The Senate has a reduction for CALS grants and then also a reduction for rural hospital planning and transition grants. Both the House and the Senate have reductions for summer health care internships and for health and LTC career promotion grants. The House alone has increased spending for health professions in the way of opportunity scholarships, a grant program, and an FTE to help facilitate those two provisions. And then the Senate has one spending item. It's funding for existing loan forgiveness obligations, and then has some additional reductions to health professional loan forgiveness program, a National Health Service Corps. This is a loss for the federal match, and then a reduction to the lead abatement grants. On line 1077, the Senate picked up the governor's provision for Merck direct grants. This is an annual reduction starting in 2013 of $4.6 million per year. On line 1084, this is the House provision for Merck direct grants, and it's the reduction is $1.9 million for the biennium. There are a few provisions that are some spending items. The reductions are to Fairview and to U of M School Dentistry, but there are a few spending items to do some of that redirection of the grants. One is for a White Earth Band Urban Clinic, and then one is for a scholarship for University of Minnesota. And then on line 1102, this is a House provision only. This is groups with health disparities in health profession studies, $100,000 per year. On line 1107, this is additional funding for the CALS program. This is a House-only provision. It's an additional $31,000 per year. On line 1112, this is a House provision, an increase for community health center development grants of just over $100,000 annually. On line 1117, a House provision to spend money for healthcare homes modifications. The biennial amount is $1.2 million, and then in the TAILS biennium, it goes down to more like half a million. On line 1122, this is a House provision only for pregnancy care homes, a spending item for $720,000 in the biennium. On line 1127, this is a House provision, data on claims and utilization. This is just a one-time spending item of $102,000. On line 1132, this is a House provision to spend $50,000 one time on health impact notes. On line 1137, this is a Senate provision that was also in the governor's proposal. This is a reduction of FQHC grants, one time of $1 million. On line 1143, this is an operating reduction to the Department of Health, and the House amount was the same as the governor's proposal. It's a reduction of just over $3 million. The Senate reduction is just over $7 million for the biennium. On the next page. On line 1154, that was just a governor's provision. On line 1160, this is a Senate provision to make procedural changes to newborn screening. It's a biennial cost of $1.1 million. On line 1166, this is a Senate provision that was also in the governor's proposal for geothermal heat exchange bore licensing. It's a net effect of zero. On line, oh, and then that's the end of the health department. Line 1189 is where the health-related boards begin. What the governor's proposal was to convert all the appropriations to statutory appropriations, and neither the House nor the Senate picked up that policy change and fiscal impact change. There are some changes to the spending. On line 1194, the House is appropriating an additional $20,000 per year to the Behavioral Health and Therapy Board. On line 1202, the House is appropriating an additional $22,000 per year to the Chiropractors Board. There is also a Chiropractors Board fee change starting on line 1220. This is for the animal chiropractic fee, which would be an increase. It's a $6,000 change. And the governor and the Senate's provisions are the same, and the House picked up the revenue, but we also spent it in the additional funding to the Chiropractors Board. On line 1216, this is the Dentistry Board. The House and the Senate both have increased appropriations. This is where there was a transfer from the Health Professional Service Program. And both the House and the Senate did this, and that's on line 1219. The House appropriation increases that amount, and then so it's just over $800,000 per year, and the Senate had it at $704,000 per year. So that's the difference. And then there's also just a general increase to the Dentistry Board that was picked up by both the House and the Senate that for the biennium is $205,000. The Dietetics and Nutrition Practice Board on line 1223. The House provision is to increase this by $5,000 per year. On line 1229 for the Marriage and Family Therapy Board, both the House and the Senate increase the appropriation. The Senate does a one-time increase of $25,000, and the House has the one-time increase of $25,000 and an additional $8,000 ongoing. On line 1236 for the Medical Practice Board, the House increases that appropriation by $184,000 annually. On line 1242 for the Nursing Board, the House and the Senate both increase the appropriations. The House increases $256,000 annually, and the Senate increases it $667,000 in the biennium. There were Nursing Board fee changes that were the same for the governor, the House, and the Senate. That's on line 1249. On line 1255, the Nursing Home Administrators Board, both the House and the Senate increased this board just over $2 million for the biennium. On line 1265, the Optometry Board gets an increase in the House bill of $5,000 per year. On line 1271, the Pharmacy Board has an appropriation that's equal in both the House and Senate. That would be $233,000 in the first year, $236,000 ongoing after that. On line 1277, these are some Pharmacy Board fee changes. And there's a slight mistake in the way the tracking shows for the House, so it should look identical to the Senate. And this is just an increase in the Pharmacy Board fee that was equal, the same in the governor's recommendation as well. On line 1283, the Physical Therapy Board, received an increase from both the House and the Senate of $144,000. The Podiatry Board on line 1290 received an increase in the House proposal of $4,000, an additional $4,000 per year. The Psychology Board on line 1296 received an increase in the House proposal of $40,000 annually. The Social Work Board received an increase in both the House and the Senate bills of $247,000 in the biennium. The Veterinary Medicine Board on line 1308 received an increase in both the House and the Senate proposals of $67,000 for the biennium. Next is the Emergency Medical Services Board. And again, this House, the tracking for the House should look identical to the Senate and the Governor's tracking. The negative $704,000 per year is just the transfer of the Health Professional Service Program out of the administration of the EMS Board over to the Dentistry Board. And then there are no other changes for the EMS Board for their general fund spending. And the Council on Disabilities, the Ombudsman for Mental Health, and the Families Ombudsman also received no changes from the House or the Senate. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Adrians. Are there any questions from members about this review? At this time. I think, could proceed to the language comparison, except that we don't have copies of the language comparison. So rather than do that and let the House be able to take advantage of that and the Senate not be able to do that, I think what we'll do is, if there's no questions or at this point, I would recommend that we adjourn until tomorrow. And I think Representative Weber will be in the chair, and we can continue. And hopefully by that point, we'll have our copies of the language that we can begin to look at the side-by-sides. Chairman Weber.
And so tomorrow, is it 1 o'clock?
I believe that's true.
Is that 1 o'clock? We're at 1 o'clock in room 200, and then Thursday you have the gavel, and I think we're back here at noon. Is that right, Mr. Chairman?
I am checking my calendar, but I think that is correct.
And then if it works out on Monday. Also, there'll be, watch for the time change for Thursday. We don't know that yet. Monday we have to be out of here by 3, and so we're going to take the morning slot. We'll convene around 9. We'll announce that. If we can find, they'll give us a room. Can we bump Ways and Means? No, they can bump us. Anyway, so we're going to meet in the. If we may have to meet on the steps, we'll be meeting at 9 o'clock on Monday. We have a lot of work to do, and I'm looking forward to a very reasonable conference time. I'm impressed with staff on both sides of the street and aisle, and we have a lot of work to do. So keep your ideas coming to us.
Thank you. And so tomorrow at 1 o'clock in room 200 of the SOB is when we'll be meeting next. And I want to thank you all for being here today. And with that, we are adjourned.